Stella doing? She texted him back. Paperwork? Can you take a long lunch? She hugged her phone and spun her desk chair in a circle before replying. Yes. Never mind the untouched lunch sitting next to her keyboard that she'd had delivered. She could put it in the fridge for tomorrow. His response had her smile widening. Head over to my mom's shop when you can. She gathered the internship papers into a neat pile and prepared to leave. It was lunchtime on Friday, and everyone had left for the various restaurants downtown. She walked through the hallways and entered the elevator, expecting to make a clean getaway. Philip stepped between the doors as they started to close.
Are you actually heading out for lunch today? Care if I join you?
He asked. I'm meeting someone.
The same guy?
She nodded.
Lucky guy.
She stared at the floor level indicator, wishing it would go from 3 to 1 much, much quicker.
I heard you're planning on taking an intern.
That's right.
My cousin is a good fit.
Her eyes jumped from the numbers to Philip's face. I already have someone in mind. He put his hands in his pockets and shrugged.
All right.
Wait, she said. Send me your cousin's resume. As much as she wanted to hire Janie, she had to be fair about this. There was such a thing as professional integrity. The spot needed to go to the most qualified candidate. Michael would understand. He didn't let his sister win when wrestling just because she was younger and smaller and weaker. Stella had to go through the proper vetting process. She had a feeling, however, Janie was her girl. When she loves something, like she and Janie did, you were good at it. If you weren't good right away, you got good at it. Philip released an amused huff of breath.
All right, then.
The elevator dinged, and she strode through the lobby. Frustratingly, Philip followed her to her car.
Are you going to that charity benefit tomorrow?
He asked. How do you know about it?
My mom and yours are on the planning committee. I know, small world, right? Anyway, I was wondering if you have a date. My mom is going to find me one if I don't get one on my own.
He smiled and hunched his shoulders in a way that made him seem far more approachable than normal. Their situations were so similar. Stella couldn't help sympathizing. Mine threatened the same thing.
Look, Stella, I know you're seeing someone, but before you said you hoped it was serious, kind of like you weren't sure. Is he your boyfriend or not?
She looked down at the blacktop in the parking lot. It's complicated.
What does that mean?
I need to go. I don't want to be late. She gripped the door handle to her car. He lowered a hand toward hers but stopped before making contact. Did he sense she needed her space? Maybe he really did understand her.
Does it mean you're just having sex? Because you're better than that. I hope you know that. All that stuff I told you before about needing practice, it was crap. You intimidate the hell out of me, and I was trying to make myself seem more worldly. It's stupid. All that matters is connecting with the right person. I think you can be that person for me, Stella. I've liked you for a long time.
Why are you telling me this now? We've worked together for years. She could hardly believe her ears. He'd liked her all this time? Her?
Because I have issues. And my tongue ties up when I'm with you, and all that comes out is asshole garbage. I was waiting for you to ask me out because I'm insecure. But I'm asking you now. The idea that you're seeing some guy who doesn't appreciate you makes me crazy. You're a 10 for me, Stella.
He thought she was a 10? Someone thought she was a 10? Her chest caved in and her eyes stung. I'm not a 10. I have issues, too.
I know. Your mom told my mom. She told me. I have a whole slew of problems that change names every time I switch therapists. We're perfect for each other. You're still a 10 for me.
But he wasn't her perfect 10. He might have been, though, if things had been different. There was a time when she would have been interested in exploring whether there was a nice guy inside him somewhere. She couldn't fault him for sounding condescending when she often came across the same way. Besides, she wanted him to be good underneath it all. The idea gave her hope for herself. I'm sorry, Philip. I already asked him to go to the benefit with me. I can't uninvite him. More than that, I don't want to. I'm obsessed with him. A stubborn look crossed Philip's face.
Obsessions pass.
Not for me, they don't.
I assure you, he's just a phase. You're not in love, he said with certainty.
Her lips parted. Love? Was that what this feeling was? Was she in love with Michael?
How can you be so sure it's not love? She asked. I know, because I'm the one you're going to fall in love with.
Me, he insisted. Philip, don't do this. Whatever this is,
you need to give us a try.
With that, he stepped forward and bent toward her. She tried to back away, but her car was right behind her, preventing escape. She turned her face to the side. He didn't wear overpowering cologne, but his smell was wrong. She pushed her hands against his chest. The feel of him was wrong. He wasn't Michael. He touched his lips to hers, dry skin on dry skin. A wet tongue slimed into her mouth, and her heart skittered. Her body went into lockdown. It was like her first three encounters all over again. Wrong, wrong, wrong. She twisted away and dragged her sleeve over her mouth. Dirty, black feelings grated over her skin, inside and out. Philip grimaced and set his jaw, fisted his hands.
You just have to get used to me, Stella. You acclimated to that bastard.
She shoved at his chest, pushing him away.
Don't ever do that again.
Heart pounding and hands shaking, she got in her car. By the time she reached the shop, she'd mostly calmed down, but that unclean feeling persisted. She wanted to brush her teeth. Inside, she located Michael kneeling in the fitting area at an older gentleman's feet, pinning the hem of his pants. Michael wore jeans and a black t-shirt. Measuring tape, pincushion, and chalk pencil were in place. She loved him in work clothes. He must have dressed similarly when he designed in New York City, sketching patterns over lighted architect tables and draping cloth over ungrateful mannequins. As if sensing her, he glanced up, caught sight of her, and smiled. She started to return his smile, but the bad taste in her mouth reminded her of what had happened in the parking lot. What if Michael kissed her now? She'd get Philip all over him. Disgusting. Bathroom. I need the bathroom. He stood up with a troubled frown.
Back there.
She ran into the back, spotted the door to the bathroom, and rushed to the sink. After turning on the water, she soaked her hands and scrubbed at her lips and her tongue. She splashed water into her mouth, swished, spit, repeated over and over. Michael opened the bathroom door and watched as Stella rinsed out her mouth like she'd eaten something nasty. Was she sick? His insides twisted as his mind automatically jumped to the worst-case scenarios he was far too familiar with. The door swung shut behind him as he closed the distance between them and swept his hands down her tense back.
Hey, what's wrong?
Please be okay. For several long moments, the room was silent but for the rush of the water in the sink. A deep frown creased her brow as she watched the water swirl around the drain. Meeting his eyes in the mirror, she cranked the water off and said, "A co-worker kissed me." Everything inside Michael stilled, and a cold rage spread outward. With the training he did, he wasn't the kind of person who could pick fights, but he could sure as fuck end them. He would enjoy ending this one. His knuckles cracked as he fisted his hands.
What's his name? What does he look like? Where can I find him?
The questions came out in a hard monotone. The motherfucker was going to enjoy himself a trip to the hospital. She whipped around to face him, her eyes wide. Why?
No one forces you, Stella.
Are you planning to do something to him? I don't want you to get in trouble.
You just washed your mouth out for a whole minute. Now I'm going to wash his out. With blood.
She wrung her hands as she searched for words. I'm okay, as you can see.
If you weren't okay, He'd be a dead man,
he growled. Can you drop this, please? He shook his head in disbelief. Someone had touched her, kissed her, stuck his fucking tongue in her mouth. How can you be so calm about this? Did you want him to kiss you? No, but... She looked away from him. Maybe there was a time when I did. A horrible thought entered his head. Is he the reason you hired me?
You wanted to practice for this guy?
Her cheeks flushed with color. Maybe. He seemed like a good candidate at the time, but I don't want him anymore. Which is ironic because...
She stopped talking with a grimace. Because what?
He told me today he's liked me for a long time, that... Surprise! I'm a 10 for him. She sent him a searching gaze as she said, He told me he doesn't care about how different I am. He couldn't stop himself from dragging her against his chest then. He hadn't said those things, but that didn't mean he didn't feel them.
That's because you are a 10. All the things that make you different make you perfect.
I'm not perfect, Michael. I'm really not, she said in a pained voice.
Did you kiss him back?
At this point, that was the only thing that could make her imperfect for him. Maybe not even that. She shook her head. No.
Did you like it? When he kissed you?
Because he had to know. Not at all, she whispered.
Why? Did he do it wrong? Was he a bad kisser?
It felt wrong.
Why?
Because he wasn't you. The soft look in her eyes killed him. He would do anything for that look. Anything. He angled her head back with a hand against her jaw, trying to be gentle despite the violence raging in his veins.
Going to kiss you.
He had to. If he didn't, he would go crazy. Don't. He's in my mouth. I can still taste him. I can't get him out. He released a fierce growl.
I need this, Stella.
At her small nod, he crushed their mouths together and kissed her deeply. He needed to erase every last trace of that piece of shit, needed to mark her as his. She went weak and sank into him, and he closed his arms around her, stroking her roughly.
Can you still taste him?
He rasped against her lips. No, she said on a gasp. He worked her skirt open and slipped his hand into her panties, almost groaning from the liquid heat that met his fingers. Who was that for? Him? Or her co-worker? Michael. His name on her lips soothed a place deep inside him, and the urgent need to hear it again and again claimed him. He pushed her skirt until it pooled around her ankles and ripped the fly of his jeans open, freeing his cock. Then, he dug a foil from his pocket, tore it open, and rolled the condom on. When she began to lower her panties, he shook his head. He looped one of her legs around his hip as he lifted and pressed her against the tile wall. She made an impatient sound. Don't tease me, Michael. I need you. He pulled the crotch of her panties to the side and thrust hard and fast, burying himself inside her. Her breath broke, and she moaned his name. So fucking hot. He stroked his tongue over every inch of her mouth, claiming it as he angled his hips to hit her clit. The tight grip of her body, her sweet mouth, her legs around him, her breaths on his neck. Perfection. He reveled in every part of Stella. His heart thundered and his blood rushed. His need grew desperate, but he held back. Determined to wait for her. When she shattered and convulsed around him uncontrollably, he pumped into her harder. He grasped at her hips, her thighs, pressed their foreheads together so he could see into her beautiful, dazed eyes, and drove into her one last time, letting everything that he was pour into her, losing himself. As the breaths sawed in and out of his chest, he held her tight. He never wanted to let her go. When he finally found the strength to pull away, he settled her on her feet and went to toss the condom in the toilet. He wiped himself off, aware of the appreciative way she watched him, and loving it. She didn't look at anyone else like this. Just him. After living with her for the better part of a month, he could say that with certainty. There were parts of her, many parts, the best parts, she only shared with Michael, and it had helped him forget their relationship wasn't real. But he needed to remember. She hadn't wanted her co-worker's kiss, but if she had, there was no reason why she shouldn't have done it. They weren't monogamous. He wasn't her boyfriend or her fiancé or her husband. She was his client, and he was her vendor. That sounded awful as fuck, but it was true. He had no right to defend her and no right to be possessive. She was paying him to help her. At least she thought she was, and he needed to stay detached and professional. Too bad he'd gone and fallen for her instead. When they eventually separated, it would break him, but she'd be better off. She'd know how to be herself with another person, and what to expect out of a relationship, what it felt like to be loved. He hoped she never settled for less. Drawing on years of escorting experience, he slipped on a smile and said, "I'll have to buy you a new pair of those." When a confused expression crossed her face, he nodded toward the torn side seam of her panties that she'd been absently fingering all this time. She smiled and flattened her palm over her hip. "That's okay. I can do it. I don't mind. Though for most couples, women buy all the underwear." She tilted her head to the side. "Why?" He shrugged. "I think it's because they do a lot of shopping and like to take care of the people they love." As he said the words, Stella drew in a surprised breath. A discovering look lit her face before she stared off into space, focusing on things inside her head. "Where did you go?" He waved a hand in front of her until she refocused on him. It was such a Stella thing to do. He grinned despite the emptiness in his chest. He loved how brilliant she was. Everything about her did it for him. Every single thing. "You're thinking about work, aren't you? Here I am talking about replacing the underwear I tore having hot bathroom sex with you, and you're zoning out to think about econometrics." She straightened her glasses with a wrinkle of her nose. I'm sorry. I can't help it all the time. I try to be present, but I'm teasing you. I love your genius brain," he admitted, because he couldn't help it. Even when he was sad, he kissed her soft lips once, twice, and one last time again. "Come on. Why? We'll probably have to use the bathroom soon, and I want to show you something." Stella covered a gasp when Michael pulled a hanger from a hook on the wall, revealing a little white dress of creamy fabric. "Is that for me?"
"I had to guess at your dimensions, so the fit might be all over the place. Try it on for me?"
She stared at the garment in wonder, her own Michael Larson dress. After closing herself in the mirrorless dressing room, she undressed in a hurry. Of course the dress was strapless, so she couldn't wear a bra, but the inside was lined in soft silk. There wasn't a single exposed seam to bother her skin. She was dying to see what it looked like on. Holding the bodice to her chest, she walked out and turned around. "Can you zip the back for me, please?" His lips brushed against her nape as the zipper closed with an intimate zip, sending a shiver down her spine. It felt like it fit her perfectly. It hugged her body better than her yoga clothes, and she loved her yoga clothes. When she turned around, Michael assessed her with a critical eye, his sexy arms crossed over his chest. "Can I look?" she whispered. A small smile formed on his lips, and he nodded toward the raised area in front of the mirrors where he did fittings. She stepped onto the dais and felt her heart stutter, reboot, and resume. The dress was a smooth ivory sheath that followed the lines of her body from her knees to her chest. The fabric of the bodice fluted just off-center, in such a way that it gave the impression she was a curvaceous calla lily. Her nipples were not visible. It was perfect. Simple, modest, but daring. Her. She ran her hands over her hips, turned around, and gasped at what the expert construction of the dress did to her behind. Her butt had never looked so pert and voluptuous. She settled a hand over the ripe curve of one cheek, and Michael cleared his throat. He stepped onto the dais and trailed his fingers down her sides.
I'm happy with the fit. My hands knew the size of you.
I love it. Thank you, Michael.
My gift to you. For all the birthdays when I didn't know you. When is your birthday?
Warmth effervesced inside her like champagne. A gift from Michael. That he'd made with his own hands. Each seam, each thread, each piece of fabric had been chosen just for her. The summer solstice, June 21st. You?
June 20th. But I'm 2 years younger than you.
Do you mind that I'm older? She knew men often liked younger women. He grinned.
Not at all. I crushed on older women when I was growing up. I can still see Ms. Rockaway bending over in her tweed skirt to pick up the chalkboard eraser.
Who was she? Unpleasant emotion speared through Stella.
Chemistry teacher sophomore year. I hope you're jealous, so you know how I feel about Dexter kissing you,
he said, his face thoughtful as he ran his fingertips down her arm. Dexter?
Maybe Stuart. That's a good name for the kind of guy I'm picturing.
Don't picture him.
Mortimer, she laughed.
No.
Niles.
Michael.
Don't tell me his name is Michael.
It's not. You're my only Michael. Do you really want to know his name? He was quiet for a moment before he released a heavy breath and said,
It's better if I don't, since you don't want me to beat the shit out of him.
When she stiffened at his language, a hard smile touched his lips. She caught her breath, unsure what to say. It wasn't Philip she cared about. It was Michael. If he went after Philip, there could be awful consequences. Lawsuits, jail, HR claims. Even though she would have liked to see Michael in action, one nasty kiss wasn't worth all that.
I'm glad you like the dress,
Michael said with a softening expression.
I'm looking forward to seeing you wear it tomorrow.
After a lunch of catfish soup with pineapple and celery over rice, Stella rushed back to the office. She wanted to look at the data again. Philip lifted a hand at her when she passed by, but she didn't have time to deal with him. She strode past his office, tossed her purse in her desk drawer, and sat down, clicking through screens on her monitors until she came to the function she'd formulated to model men's purchasing behavior with regard to high-end boxer shorts. It was an elegant equation with 5 key variables that included things like age and income bracket and several minor variables. She'd boiled the determination of male purchasing of boxers down to a single binary variable, beta, and had found markers that led to its activation, things like increased spending on fine dining and luxury gifts. It seemed counterintuitive to Stella that in a time of decreased price sensitivity, men suddenly quit buying their underwear. Even luxury boxers weren't that expensive. Now, as she looked at the math and the numbers, Michael's words trickled through her brain. Women like to take care of the people they love. Somehow, some way, Stella had used market data, math, and statistics to quantify love into a single variable. Beta was love. Beta was a zero or a one, a yes or a no. And it was overwhelmingly linked to the time when men quit purchasing their own underwear. It wasn't an absolute, of course. People were people, and they hated to be entirely predictable. But it was a visible trend. You could gamble with this data and win more than you lost. If a woman purchased underclothes for a man, it meant she loved him. Stella was fully capable of purchasing underclothes. She left work early that day to go shopping. When she returned home with her find, she wrapped it in a red bow and hid it at the bottom of the drawer Michael had appropriated for his underclothes. If he stopped buying boxers now, it meant he loved her back. If he loved her, Her labels wouldn't matter. She'd tell him everything. Chapter 23. Michael raked a hand through his hair as he stared at the suits hanging in Stella's closet, trying to pick out the one he'd wear to the benefit tonight. He was going to meet her parents. Every nerve in his body told him it was going to go terribly, but he would still drag himself there. Stella had asked him to come. She peeked into the doorway, grinning. "Can't decide which one? You pick." Shyly, she stepped into the closet. She was holding the dress he'd made to her chest. "Zip me first?" Because he couldn't resist, he kissed her neck, sucking on the sweet skin as he searched underneath the loose bodice and palmed her tits. When he pinched her nipples, her breath hitched in the sexiest way. "We're going to be late if you keep that up." "Everyone's late to these kinds of things." He bit her nape as he stroked a hand over her belly and prepared to slip into her panties. He loved touching her there, loved the way she responded. "My parents are never late. They want to meet you." His hand froze in mid-descent, because he couldn't bring himself to say he wanted to meet them. Why would he want to meet people who were bound to disapprove of him? He said, "It should be interesting." "Thank you for coming with me. I know you'd rather do other things." He'd rather do prom fittings, but he didn't say that. "You know how I like to wear suits." That, at least, was true. He withdrew his hand from her dress and pulled the zipper up. "A three-piece. I love you in three-piece suits." "The black one, then. It'll look good with your dress." She grinned as she turned to face him. "Everything looks good with my dress. People are going to ask where I got it. Can I tell them it's a Michael Larson original?" He hesitated as he heard his full name on her lips. "You know my real name." Her eyelashes swept downward. "It was on your electric bill and the uniform in your picture. Are you mad?"
"Are you?"
Had she Googled him or his family? There were articles in the local papers that outlined in detail all the shit his dad had done. Had she read them? No, she couldn't have. She wasn't looking at him with veiled suspicion. It was only a matter of time, though. His heart crashed, and his skin went hot. Tick-tock. Tick-tock. But the clock wasn't ticking down the time when he exploded and hurt everyone. Now, it was ticking down to the time when she learned everything and it was over between them. She lifted a shoulder, but she didn't look at him. And she didn't speak.
"You are mad,"
he said in realization. "Mad isn't the right word."
"What is the right word?"
"I don't know. I felt like you didn't trust me." She hugged her arms around her middle. "Like you were making sure I wouldn't be able to find you when things end between us."
"No, I trust you. I was just..."
"Afraid of losing her?"
"I hate my last name."
"That too. Why?"
"It's my dad's."
She searched his face with her eyebrows drawn together. "Why do you hate your dad? Because he left your mom?" He swallowed hard. If he answered that question truthfully, he'd lose her today, right now. The badness in his heart advised him to lie. It would be so easy just to lie. That was what his dad always did. "I'm sorry," she said in a rush, blinking rapidly. She adjusted her glasses and rubbed at an elbow. "It's too personal, isn't it? Forget I asked."
"Stella, you can ask me things,"
he said, feeling an ache start in his chest and spread outward. It wasn't a relationship if they couldn't talk to each other.
"I hate him because of the way he left. Because he's a cheater and a bad person. I haven't seen him in years. But I'm certain he's out there cheating on other women, hurting other people, leaving them in the worst way. It's what he does."
"He left you, too?" she asked with sad eyes.
"Yeah. And all of my sisters."
His mom had told Michael not to hold what his dad did to her against him, to forgive him. But how did you forgive someone who wasn't even there? As fathers went,
as long as they weren't abusing you. A shitty one was still better than none. Michael had none, and trying to hold the family together by himself was breaking him apart. She threw herself into his arms and hugged him tight, saying nothing, and Michael kissed her forehead. With each breath, her sweet Stella scent reached into him and soothed him. He needed this. He needed her. When people heard about his dad, they cursed him and they empathized with his mom. None of them thought about what it meant to Michael. No one but Stella. He knew he should tell her the other half of the story about his dad, but he couldn't. He hadn't loved her enough yet. Setting her away from his body, he said, "We should get ready." The benefit was at an exclusive club a ways down Page Mill Road, amid lighted tennis courts, putting greens, and glowing blue swimming pools. Michael parked Stella's Tesla in front of a large building with modern lines and the ugly brown facade typical of Palo Alto architecture. After he helped Stella out of the car, she stared at the windows of the club. Her nervousness was obvious, but the golden light spilling from the windows made her look dreamily beautiful. Her hair was pulled up in a loose side knot, pinned in place with a white silk rosette. She hadn't needed to bring a purse. Michael had her phone and cards in his pocket, and her empty hands arabesqued on her thighs. "If I start talking about work, will you stop me, please?" He took her hand in his and squeezed, feeling the cold sweat on her palm. "Why? Your work is interesting." "I get carried away, and I take over the conversation. It bothers people."
"I like it when you get carried away."
That was when she was at her most captivating, when her eyes twinkled. He brought her hand to his lips and kissed her knuckles. Her mouth wobbled into an uncertain smile as she looked up at him. "That's part of why you're so wonderful to me."
"I'm glad you know it."
She laughed as he led her to the front doors. Once inside, the din of hundreds of casual conversations enveloped them. The banquet room was filled wall to wall with round tables of Silicon Valley's finest, and a live band played low-key jazz from a stage at the back of the room. A wall composed almost entirely of windows showcased the lap pool and lighted golf course outside.
"How are you dealing with all this noise?"
She turned to face him with a startled look. "Is it bothering you, too?"
"I'm fine. You're the one I'm worried about."
He didn't want her to end up hyperventilating outside again. "The noise isn't terrible. I'm more nervous about the seating arrangements. My mom likes to surround me with new people. I've gotten better at the talking, but it's still a lot of work." He tilted his head as he absorbed that. For him, talking was talking. There wasn't a work part.
"You overthink it."
"I have to think really hard when I talk. Otherwise I blurt out rude things, and I alienate everyone."
"It's because you're so honest."
"People don't like honest, except for when you're saying good things. Figuring out what people think is good is tricky, especially when I don't know them. It makes conversation a minefield." A woman who had to be Stella's mother sailed forward in ropes of pearls and a loose, off-white dress that fell over slender curves to mid-calf. Her dark hair was gathered in a bun identical to the one Stella usually wore, accentuating a facial structure Michael was very familiar with. This elegant, mid-50s woman was Stella in another 20-some years. Stella's future husband was a lucky fucking bastard. She hugged Stella and pulled back to admire her with maternal pride.
"Stella, dear, you look lovely."
Her attention switched to Michael and she smiled.
"And there he is. So good to see you, Michael. I'm Stella's mother, Anne."
She held her hand out, knuckles up, and he lifted it to his mouth to brush a quick kiss over the back. He knew he was in upper crust territory when hand-kissing was an expected greeting.
"Good to see you, Anne."
"And his voice is beautiful, too. I just can't get over this dress, Stella. Wherever did your personal shopper find it? You look like a flower."
Stella beamed at him.
Michael is a designer. This is one of his creations. And didn't that sound perfect coming from her lips? The only problem was, he hadn't designed much in the past 3 years, and he didn't see himself getting back to it anytime soon. His mom said she didn't need him at the shop, but with her sickness, he needed to keep an eye on her. He'd run across her unconscious body in the bathroom twice. If he hadn't, who knew what would have happened? Ambition could wait. He only had one mom. If he felt stifled and suffocated in the prison of his life, that was his problem. This wasn't going to last forever. He didn't want her to die. He loved her. But it was an unavoidable truth that her passing would set him free. Love, he found, was a jail. It trapped and it clipped wings. It dragged you down, forced you to places you didn't want to go, like this club he didn't belong in. Anne clasped her pearls. Oh, isn't that perfect for you, Stella? Did he make this himself? She fluttered around Stella, checking the zipper, peeking inside at the construction of the dress. Concealed seams, no tags, and it's so soft. Anne looked up at Michael with glassy eyes before she whispered in Stella's ear and kissed her cheek, making Stella blush. Well, come on and let me introduce you to her father. Anne looped her arm around his and steered them toward a half-occupied table far from the band. A middle-aged man with a bit of a pot belly, gray hair, and wire-rimmed glasses sat next to four empty seats. He was carrying on an animated conversation with the goodish-looking blonde guy at his side. Edward, this is Michael. Michael, this is Edward, Stella's father. Stella's dad stood up and shook hands. It was a civil handshake, firm without fighting for dominance. But the light brown eyes behind his lenses examined Michael like a laboratory specimen of unknown origin. Michael felt like he had on prom night, meeting his date's dad for the first time, like he should have brought his resume and latest STD screening results. He stifled the impulse to shake out his hands and feet like he did before he sparred in competition. "Nice to meet you," Michael said.
"A pleasure."
Stella's dad said with a stiff smile that reminded Michael a lot of his own dad. Well, if his dad had been remotely normal. "This is Philip James," Anne said, indicating the blonde guy. "Philip, this is Michael, Stella's boyfriend." Philip stood up and straightened a black suit coat that fit his athletic frame in a way that would make any tailor proud.
"Pleased to meet you."
The guy held his hand out politely. When Michael shook it, however, his fingers were tightened into a painful vice.
"What the hell?"
Philip's hazel gaze was flinty as he sized Michael up.
"Stella told me about you at work."
At work? Michael glanced at Stella and she looked away uncomfortably. The kiss.
This was Dexter Stewart Mortimer Niles.
Michael released Philip's hand before he gave in to the urge to slam him onto the table.
"Philip,"
he said with a terse nod. This piece of shit had put his tongue in Stella's mouth. He was not at all what Michael had expected. He should have been thinner, with bad posture and less muscle. He definitely should have had glasses, nice, thick ones that looked like binoculars. Seemingly oblivious to the tension thickening the air, Anne continued introducing the well-dressed people seated around the table. A single nerdy guy who fit Michael's original perception of Philip to a T, and happened to own a well-known tech company, a highly educated Indian couple, and a white-haired older woman in a lavender skirt suit whose neck, ears, and fingers dripped with enormous diamonds. He unbuttoned his jacket and sat down between Stella and the table's last empty seat, with a composure that 3 years of escorting had taught him.
"So, Michael, tell me about yourself,"
Stella's dad said, crossing his arms and leaning back in his chair on a calculating gaze. "Yep, this was prom night all over again." Michael knew exactly how this was going to go.
"What would you like to hear?" Michael asked.
"For starters, what do you do?"
Philip watched him with sullen interest. Michael's dad had wanted him to be an astrophysicist or an engineer. Near the end, his dad had settled on architect. That was still respectable.
I'm a designer.
Oh? How interesting. What do you design? Or does your security clearance not allow you to say?
When he unraveled that, he almost laughed. No, I'm not a defense contractor. I design clothes.
He designed Stella's dress, honey, Stella's mom said with a gentle smile. He's remarkably talented.
Edward's face wrinkled in distaste, but he rallied, giving Michael the benefit of the doubt.
That must be a difficult business to get successful in. Are you working under one of those New York designers?
Not currently.
You must be creating your own line. That's exciting, Anne said.
I've taken some time off, to be honest.
Stella began to speak, but he grabbed her hand and shook his head slightly. He really didn't need these people to know he did dry cleaning and alterations all day. It was bad enough it was the truth. No, it wasn't bad. He wasn't ashamed of it. It was good, honest work. Fuck it. What sense was there in lying to himself? Sitting next to all these people with their fancy educations and exorbitant wealth, yes, he was ashamed. He wasn't the kind of man anyone would pair with someone like Stella.
So, you do nothing?
Philip asked with a look of disbelief. Michael schooled his features into nonchalance and shrugged.
More or less.
His mom's illness was none of their fucking business, and he didn't want the whole table looking at him with pity. Matching grimaces crossed Edward's and Philip's faces, and Michael clenched his jaw. They probably thought he wanted to marry Stella for her money. Didn't they know Stella was too smart for that kind of shit? When she fell in love, it would be with someone who was her match.
I'd go crazy with boredom.
Philip's expression turned thoughtful as he looked at Stella.
You can't stand inactivity, can you, Stella? You're driven, and you like knowing your work has an impact on the world. It's why we get along so well.
It's true. I like working, Stella allowed. But she cast a worried look at Michael.
Ed, you should have seen what she did with the last project we worked on together,
Philip said.
She came at the problem in a way I'd never seen before, and is single-handedly revolutionizing the way online vendors market to their customers.
I'm sure she couldn't have done it without your help, Phil.
Stella's dad grasped Philip's shoulder fondly. So these two already knew one another. Were they golf partners or some shit? 15 different ways to chuck a man flitted through Michael's mind. And what was this about her needing Philip? Stella didn't need anyone. Not even Michael. Not anymore. He wasn't sure if she ever had. A genuine smile curved over Stella's lips. That's actually true. We work well together.
Really?
He hated the idea of her working with Philip. And liking any part of it. The bastard should have irritated her as much as he did Michael. He was hit by the juvenile desire to kiss her publicly and stake his claim on her, and he removed his hand from hers before he could act. She didn't notice. She was still smiling at Philip, her real smile, the one he usually got to himself. Fuck if that didn't hurt like getting one of his balls torn off.
She's one of the few who can tolerate me. I know I'm an asshole. I have standards, and I can't stand laziness and ineptitude.
Philip sent a telling glance Michael's way. Michael took a deep breath and released it slowly. He searched the walls of the room for a clock. How much more of this did he have to withstand? The conversation at the table veered down the path of economic theory and advanced statistics, and he watched with a sinking sensation as Stella opened up and began talking. She had said to stop her if she started talking about work, but she was loving it. It was so clearly her passion in life. Michael didn't want to deny her. Philip, for all his supposed assholishness, kept up with her in a way Michael never could. he was reminded of that kiss. She'd said she hadn't liked it, and that Philip was annoying, but she certainly wasn't minding interacting with him now. Michael couldn't help observing that Stella and Philip made a good-looking couple, with their similar interests and backgrounds. They were nauseatingly perfect for one another. He remembered that it was Philip who had inspired Stella to hire an escort in the first place. She wanted to make Philip hers. Maybe... Fuck, he hated thinking this. Maybe she should. At the end of the day, what Michael and Stella had was physical. They didn't connect in this cerebral manner, and he knew how important it was that Stella's mind was stimulated. It sucked admitting it, but he wasn't enough for her. On several different levels. She could never love him. Michael really was nothing but practice. As the economics conversation continued, a heartsick, organ-shredding feeling gripped him. Everything felt wrong. Even his skin felt off-size.
Oh, I'm so glad Philip's mother was able to make it, Anne said.
A red-nailed hand rested on the back of the chair next to Michael, and a familiar combination of scents assailed his nose. Cinnamon and cigarettes. Ice cubes clinked before a lowball glass half-filled with whiskey was set on the table.
Hello, darlings. Sorry I'm late.
A petite woman with long bleached blonde hair and a tight black cocktail dress lowered herself into the empty seat. Her profile was turned to him, but Michael recognized her. He'd kissed that jaw.
I had to make a quick stop before...
She faced him, and her expression went as surprised as the Botox allowed.
Well, well, well. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Eliza.
What an excellent time to bump into his least favorite former client.
Chapter 24.
You two are acquainted? How wonderful is that?
Her mother clapped her hands together. Stella felt like she was going to vomit. Philip's mom was the woman from the club. She'd given Michael his car, the one he drove every day, the one he wouldn't let Stella replace. Michael reclined in his seat with a cool smile, looking casual, perfectly comfortable, and drop-dead handsome in his black suit.
We go a ways back.
Eliza released a husky laugh and stroked her hand down his arm.
We do.
When he didn't so much as flinch at the contact, Stella's throat knotted. Michael liked older women. He'd said so. With her large breasts, tiny figure, whiskey-smooth voice, and sophisticated seductiveness, she was sex incarnate. Stella reminded herself he'd ended things with Eliza. Today, he hadn't given Eliza three glorious orgasms with his beautiful mouth before making love to her like he couldn't get enough.
Please do tell me, who did you come here with?
Eliza's eyes swept over the table and considered Stella's mother before they went back to Michael's face.
He's here with me.
Stella scooted closer to him and covered his hand with hers. She expected him to flip his hand over and interlace their fingers like he usually did. When he remained immobile, her stomach dropped.
What did that mean?
Eliza picked up her whiskey and considered Stella over the glass's rim.
Well, aren't you wholesome-looking? Your daughter is beautiful, Anne. I can see why Phil likes her so much. It's a shame she isn't single.
Her mother smiled, but Stella could see from the tension around her eyes that she was worried.
Thank you, Eliza. These two look very happy. It's no shame at all.
Stella squeezed Michael's hand tighter as she stared up at his profile. Before tonight, they had been happy.
What was wrong?
He remained impassive, his gaze trained on Eliza. Stella was touching him, but he felt miles away.
So it's serious?
Eliza looked at Stella's parents before she smirked and sent Michael an amused glance.
Meeting the parents now, Michael. Would you have met mine for the right price?
What are you talking about?
Philip narrowed his eyes as he looked from his mom to Michael, and back again. Eliza took a healthy drink from her lowball glass and smiled suggestively.
We used to go on dates.
You've got to be kidding me. Philip stared at Michael in rising disgust. You've slept with my mom?
Not exactly,
Michael replied with a tight smile. Eliza chuckled.
There wasn't any sleeping involved, if I remember correctly.
Oh, for Pete's sake, I need a drink.
Her father pushed away from the table.
Get me another whiskey on the rocks while you're at it, darling,
Eliza said, shaking her glass.
You've had enough.
He fled toward the cocktail bar in the back corner. Eliza's throaty laugh floated over the table before she drained her glass of the amber fluid and set it down.
Never.
Because Stella was sitting so close to Michael, she saw when Eliza's red nails brushed over his thigh. He didn't move. He merely stared at the woman as her hand stroked leisurely upward, coming closer and closer to the fly of his pants. Why wasn't he stopping her? Did he want her to touch him? Standing up abruptly, he said,
I'm going to get some air. Excuse me.
Before Eliza could pursue him, Stella jumped up and followed him through the back doors. The air outside smelled of nighttime, cut grass, and chlorine, and the coolness sent goosebumps over her bare shoulders and arms.
Michael, she called out.
He paused next to the blue glowing swimming pool.
You should go back in, Stella.
She walked to his side. This distance between them was making her panic. How did she bring them back together again? She took his hand and wrapped him around her waist as she pushed her body close.
But I'll miss you.
His eyes softened, and he tightened his arms around her. She sighed and rested her cheek on his chest, breathing him in. If he could hold her like this, everything was still okay.
You were having a good time before my past sat at the table.
He swept his hand up and down her back. I would rather have stayed home with you. She brought herself closer to him and kissed his throat.
Why did you let her touch you like that? It drove me crazy. He was hers.
Did it?
He skimmed his lips over her jaw, brushing light kisses upon her sensitive skin.
Yes.
It's a bad policy to make a scene with former clients. Even if they don't appreciate it at the time, they come to later on. I'll do my best to afford you the same courtesy in the future.
In the future? After they separated? I don't want that.
He was part of her life now, one of the best parts. He couldn't leave.
That makes things easier for me,
he said.
No, that's not what I meant.
What do you want, Stella?
I want... She licked her lips and took a breath. Could she say she wanted him? Could she say she loved him?
She smoothed her hands over his chest and gripped his shoulders, and he watched her with rapt attention. She wished she were better with words. She wished she could let her body speak for her. Her body always knew how to communicate perfectly with his. Even now, she found herself responding to his nearness, leaning in close, fitting against him just right. His Adam's apple bobbed and he pulled away.
Come on, then. Let's get back to your place. Unless you want to try it in the car.
What are you talking about?
Sex, Stella.
The words were hard and clipped in the night air. Her lungs constricted so tight, she could barely breathe.
That's not what I was going to say.
Then we need to end this farce, because I don't have anything else to give you.
But you do. You listen to me and talk to me and...
I will never be able to talk to you like that asshole in there. I don't even want to. I'm too stupid to give a shit about math and economics.
That's not true. You are smart.
I've amounted to nothing. I've gone nowhere.
I fuck people for money, and when that's not enough...
He met her eyes with a steady, serious gaze.
I think about stealing it. I plan it out in my head, who I'd take it from, the lies I'd say, how I could cover my tracks, because I'm just like my dad.
She shook her head.
What was he talking about? He would never steal. She had no doubt of it.
You wanted to know why I hate him? I'll tell you the whole reason.
He paused for a heavy second before saying,
He's so good at cheating, he's famous for it. He was in the news a while ago. Haven't you heard of him? Frederick Larson?
I don't... But even as she spoke, the familiar sound of the name dredged up memories. She drew in a sudden breath. The con artist. He seduced women and stole from them.
He told everyone he owned a software company. He was gone so often on business trips, my mom knew he cheated. But he always came back. Until 3 years ago, when he disappeared and his other wife showed up on my mom's doorstep looking for him. It turned out every dollar he earned came from some swindled woman, and he swindled my mom the worst. Before he left the last time, he cleared out her bank accounts and cashed out on enormous loans in her name. She had to mortgage everything to the teeth to pay them off, but even that wasn't enough. She was going to lose the shop and her house she'd worked so hard for. My sister was going to have to drop out of school because we suddenly couldn't pay for it.
He turned away from her and began unknotting his tie with violent jerks of his hands.
The job I'd been so crazy about, the one I'd traveled across the country for, thinking my family was home safe with my dad, paid such a small amount. I had to quit. I didn't have any skills that paid quickly, not like you. So I took this thing my father gave me, my body that's exactly the same exact height as his, my smile that looks just like his, and I sold it. I fucked half of California with it, day and night for months, and I used that money to help make everything right. But by that time, my mom got sick and she...
The tie fluttered to the ground and he loosened his top buttons like his shirt was suffocating him. He covered his eyes with his palm as he breathed raggedly. Stella stepped toward him hesitantly. She placed her hand on his face, finding it drenched with hot tears. Her throat was too swollen to speak, so she wrapped her arms around his neck and held him with all her strength. He buried his face in her hair and held her back. It's not your fault your dad did that horrible thing. And you're nothing like him, she whispered. How could he possibly believe that?
If I'd been there, I might have noticed what he was doing, and I might have stopped it.
Shh. She smoothed her fingers through his hair. Even if you'd been there, you wouldn't have found anything until it was too late. He fooled tons of people. That's what he's good at. He tightened his arms a fraction and pressed a kiss to her cheek. When he spoke, his voice was rough and intimate.
Bear, the crazy thing is, even after all he's done, even with how much I'm ashamed of him and hate him, I still miss him. He's my dad. My dad is a lying, cheating criminal. And I love him.
Stella had no words for Michael at that point, so she continued to hold him. What did you say when someone hurt like this? All she could do was rest her beating heart next to his and hurt with him. After a moment and an eternity, Michael pulled away. Wiping at the tears on her cheeks, he said,
I accepted your proposal because I wanted to help you with your issues, and it's clear we've worked through them. You're ready for a real relationship now. If some bastard doesn't want you because you're autistic, he doesn't deserve you. Do you hear me? You have nothing to be ashamed of.
The blood drained from her face, and her heart stopped beating. You know? He smiled slightly.
I figured it out after that first night at my mom's.
He'd known all this time? Was that good or bad? She didn't know. You want to leave? She heard herself ask.
It's time for me to move on, Stella. We're not giving each other all the things we need.
She understood at once he meant her, that she wasn't enough for him, because of who and what she was, her impairments and eccentricities, her label. Black hopelessness dragged her down. It had been naive of her to hope she could seduce him. Her chin quivered,
and she bit the inside of her lip to still the motion.
I see.
He brushed his fingertips across her cheek, tucked tendrils of hair behind her ear.
You need more than sex.